It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Ah, summertime. For people in the country or suburbs, that might mean heading to the lake or a barbecue in the backyard. But for folks who live in urban areas, the city park is often the best place to get together.
Back in Philly, we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
Now, the biophilia hypothesis argues that people become more creative in green spaces. And one bit of evidence may well be the combination of spoken poetry and infectious beat known as hip-hop music. Hip-hop got its start as a genre in urban parks, as Will Smith's 1992 hit Summertime reflects. At least that's the take of Grist magazine contributor Ben Adler.
Will Smith is from West Philadelphia, and of course Philly has some great parks, Fairmont Park being the most famous. I mean, Summertime really is a classic. He's talking about the positive sides of the urban experience of parks. People in cities, you know, they don't go away for the whole summer. They don't go away to sleepaway camp if they're children. They go to the parks. He's presenting that in this very joyful way. These are the joys of summer, you know, playing ball, having barbecues. It's a place to meet girls, and it's sort of the epitome of the summer jam.
So tell me, what are the roots of hip-hop?
Well, you know, hip-hop was born in the South Bronx in a public housing project. It's party music. Parties had DJs. If you've ever been to a bar mitzvah, you've observed that parties often have DJs, and the DJs also act as MCs, masters of ceremonies, with a microphone, and they, you know, encourage people to get out on the dance floor, right? Hip-hop came out of those kinds of parties. There was immigration from Jamaica, and there were Jamaican DJs who brought some of the DJing traditions from there to the African-American community in New York City, and they started mixing records, and the master of ceremonies, the MC, would, you know, sort of joke around and talk gibberish on the microphone, you know, a hip to the hop, you don't stop, that kind of thing. And hip-hop came out of those kinds of parties, big parties held in like the rec room of a public housing project, and parks where people could gather, people who didn't have money, people who weren't of age to go to a place you have to pay to get into, like a bar, or have to have an ID to get into. Most famously, Manhattan's Union Square Park, that is really where hip-hop was invented and developed and came up.
Yeah, let's listen to a hip-hop song that talks a bit about that early scene. This is MC Shan from 1988.
If you used to do it out in the park, let me hear you say, oh yeah,
oh yeah,
oh yeah,
oh yeah.
A time when hip-hop was set out in the dark. Hip-hop was set out in the dark. They used to do it out in the park. They used to do it out in the park. Hip-hop was set out in the dark.
One of the really interesting things about hip-hop from the late 80s is that that's what we call old school now. It sounds so primitive, but it was already, you know, a decade after it had started to break out. And already you had nostalgia, songs about how, you know, the heyday of park jams was already over. The park was where hip-hop was made. MC Shan was a really important figure in the development of hip-hop. He was the main MC in the Queens-based Juice Crew, and he had a rivalry with KRS-One. At the time, MC Shan was bigger, but KRS-One really went on to eclipse him and become a hugely legendary figure.
Well, let's listen to this tune called Outta Here by KRS-One.
Back in the days, I knew rap would never die. I used to listen to Awesome 2 on WHBI. I used to hear all kind of rap groups before sampling loops. Rappers were bell bottom lease suits.
KRS-One, tell me more about his story.
KRS-One grew up partly in Brooklyn and partly in the Bronx. And when his family was living in Brooklyn, as a teenager, he ran away from home. He was homeless, and he slept in the public parks. He ended up in a homeless shelter in the Bronx, where DJ Scott LaRock was a youth counselor. And the two of them got together and started making hip-hop music. But after Scott LaRock was killed, KRS adopted a sort of socially conscious, progressive worldview. He went on to embrace things like feminism and vegetarianism. KRS, because he was sleeping out in the parks, you know, that's where the park jams were happening.
Now, hey, the last song I want you to talk about, Ben, is Arrested Development's People Every Day. This song takes place entirely in a park.
See, I was resting at the park, minding my own. Business as I kick up the trouble zone. On my radio, take play a box right. Just loud enough so folks can hear me sightsee. Out of nowhere, comes the moment I'm dating. Investigation made me shake, was demonstrating. But nevertheless, I was pleased.
I was pleased.
My day was going great and my soul was at ease. Until a group of brothers started bugging out.
What's the message behind this song, Ben?
Arrested Development had this style that was, you know, they wore sort of African-inspired clothes and speech. The MC wore glasses, and it was very overtly Afrocentric and overtly intellectual. And they make this song about, you know, just a sort of typical day for what Speech describes himself as a fashion misfit. You know, he's hanging out at the park. It's a beautiful day. He sees his girlfriend, and then a group of men who are drinking, so they start harassing his girlfriend. And it ends in a fight between him and one of the men, but it's not celebrating that's what happens, it's decrying it. It's a overt plea for mutual respect in the community.
So what do you expect going forward now in terms of music inspired by parks and public space, Ben?
Unfortunately, you know, I think mainstream hip-hop for the last maybe 15 years has been dominated by corporate commercial acts that they're often from these really kind of suburban cities where parks play less of a role. So the setting for songs is in cars. You could say it's not as ecologically friendly of a sort of setting. The connection between hip-hop and parks had a lot to do early on with its roots in New York City. Commercial mainstream hip-hop has sort of been taken over and ruined by the suburbs, like most everything else in this country.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you.
Ben Adler is managing editor of YearsOfLivingDangerously.com and a frequent contributor to Grist.
Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia.